to our scriptures this morning, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Guide us, holy God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1 through 3, and then continuing at verses 23 through 32. Let us listen now for the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storms be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of elders. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. You can follow along on page 16 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles, beginning with verse 22. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This story unfolds at the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, which lies in the lower portion of the Jordan Valley, in the midst of a range of small mountains that rise steeply around the lake. The lake itself is around 700 feet below sea level, making it the lowest freshwater lake on Earth, and second lowest lake overall, incidentally, after the Dead Sea, which is the lowest saltwater lake. One additionally interesting thing to know about this body of water, which helps us understand this passage, is that because of its location, it is susceptible to sudden and violent storms. These storms are caused by the cold air rushing down from the mountains surrounding it and colliding with the warm, moist air rising off the surface of the water itself. Close your eyes for a moment with that setting in mind and imagine this scene. 12 disciples in a small fishing boat. In the wee hours of the morning, sometime between 3 and 6 a.m. The boat was far from shore. It was battered by the waves, and the wind was strong and against them. Scripture tells us those three things about the situation, and it leaves us to come to our own conclusion. We are told that the disciples are battered by the waves, far from shore, and that the wind was against them. You can picture that boat, and feel free to open your eyes, lest you might get a little too comfortable. If it were just one of those three things working against them, the disciples would have been okay. Battered by waves, but near the shore with little wind. Or far from shore, but no waves and no wind. Or wind, but close to shore and minimal waves. Or if it were even just two out of three, maybe they could get back to shore just fine. But the disciples had all three things against them, and they were exhausted and trying to contend with each one of these challenges. Three out of three signaled that they were in a situation they could not get themselves out of. They were out of reach of any human help. The disciples must have felt something akin to what our sisters and brothers in Houston and the surrounding areas felt this week. So many things seemed to be working against them. Nearly 50 inches of rain, an incredible over 27 trillion gallons of water, fell in just a number of days, unprecedented in that area. With so much development and pavement in that region, there was little in the surrounding area to soak up the water. And the whole area is close to sea level anyway. Downtown Houston sits only 50 feet above sea level. If it had just been one of those challenges, or even two, it would have been a bad storm, but so much less damaging. But with all three of these challenges working against the people of Texas, they realized they were in a situation they couldn't get themselves out of. In addition, Houston has another challenge, as does our country right now. Race relations in this country are so incredibly tense, especially after the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville last month. Houston is a racially diverse city, 43.8% Latino, 25.6% Caucasian, 23.1% African American, and 6% Asian. It's the most diverse big city in America, and it is highly segregated. All of this was working against these people, and they were exhausted. Back to the Sea of Galilee. Into the midst of the storm for the disciples, someone came walking toward them on the water. This is what truly frightened the disciples. They didn't recognize him. Even though they had spent months with Jesus, absorbing his teaching, learning from his compassion, witnessing his miracles. They had even the day before witnessed the feeding of the multitudes with just the small amount of bread and fish. Even after all of this, they didn't recognize Jesus when he came toward them on the water. They didn't recognize him because they were so focused on the wind and the waves, how far the shore was. They were so focused on their own safety. They didn't recognize him because their fears were all they could focus on. Their fears, which didn't leave any room for seeing Jesus. But Jesus showed up and reached toward them with his calm and steady voice and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus appeared this week in Houston, too, and reached out toward those battered by the wind and the water. One place he showed up was on Interstate 10, Tuesday afternoon. Because all those things were working against the people of Houston, the rain, the pavement, the low elevation, the segregated city, all those things to fear. And an elderly man's SUV got swept up in the floodwaters on that interstate. And Jesus showed up in the form of a human chain. No one cared what color of skin the driver had. No one cared how much he had paid for his house. A black woman held the hand of a white man who held the hand of a Latino man, and about a dozen others joined in. These previous strangers formed a human chain. They found strength together against those rushing waters. They reached into the man's vehicle, opened the door, and pulled him to safety. These strangers chose not to focus on their own fears, but they chose to focus on their shared humanity and love. And Jesus came through those waters and gave the men and the women the strength and the courage that they needed. "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." For that moment, they no longer focused on their fear, but they focused on love. Jesus also showed up in Houston this past week in a place called Gallery Furniture, which is owned by Jim McInvale, affectionately known as Mattress Mac. Many of you have heard this week how Mattress Mac opened a couple of his stores to strangers who were seeking shelter after their homes flooded. When the city started to flood, he posted a video online with a simple message, "Come on over." And he gave out his personal phone number. Soon people streamed in. They slept on recliners, sleeper sofas, and of course mattresses. When some of the storm's victims couldn't make it in because of the rising waters, Mattress Mac dispatched his large delivery trucks and drivers to collect people and bring them into safety. As the showrooms became makeshift shelters to people and their pets, Mattress Mac went all out to provide comfort, not only physical comfort, but mental comfort as well. He brought in portable showers, handed out toothbrushes and dry clothes. He played soothing music over the store's sound system, brought in a clown and a face painter for the children, brought in a pet groomer to help clean up those soggy dogs. And of course, he fed the residents. One night, an out-of-state business person ordered from a nearby restaurant, ordered for the residents lamb chop dinners. These anxious strangers were able, at least for a bit, to look beyond their fears of the storm and to see and experience the face of love because of Matt Trismack. He doesn't know how long those people will need to stay there. He doesn't know what he'll do with all that furniture that's been used after the people leave. But he's not focusing on those questions or fears. What he does know is that he has to help. As he said, "We can't afford to cause those people to lose hope. We've got to give them hope." Jesus and his love showed up in gallery furniture, and he continues in countless other places in Houston this week. And so many people have seen him. Friends, this is good news. Jesus is still appearing in this stormy, dark, and exhausting world, in places like Houston and Mumbai. And he is still appearing in the dark and stormy and exhausted places of our lives as well. And just like with the disciples, sometimes we don't recognize him because our fears get in the way. We fear things like terrorism, broken relationships, pain, disease, despair, violence. You know the things that you fear. When we focus on these, we feel threatened and we find ourselves hunkering down in the bottom of the boat, not looking up, not looking out, certainly not looking for Jesus. Yet Jesus comes, because he always comes. He's always coming toward us. Bidden or not, Jesus is present. He has been here all along. There's an African American saying that we are always either going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm. Disciples are those who are learning to call on Jesus, the Son of God, in all of these storm conditions. When our boat is battered by waves, we can call on Jesus. When our boat is far from land, we can call on Jesus. When a boat has the wind against it, we can call on Jesus. He knows our sufferings. He is approaching. He is present. And he's able to offer assistance and hope. Indeed, he has been here all along. The question is, how are we going to respond to that knowledge? Are we going to keep focusing on the wind and the waves and the distance from shore? Are we going to focus on the outstretched hand of our Lord? "Take heart," he says, "it is I. Do not be afraid." I read this week that fears don't stay as long if our heart is already occupied by someone else. How wise and true that is. So friends, whatever fears are gripping your souls, whatever fears are forming knots in your stomachs, whatever fears are encompassing your energy and your thoughts, know that the one who created you and loves you more than anything, that one is reaching out to you. That one is here present with you in the fiercest storms, in the darkest nights. That one who will not let you sink. The one who is always with you, whether we overlook him or not. That one who brings forgiveness, mercy, comfort, strength, hope, and peace, which the world cannot give. That one is here with you. Look for him as we come and share at the table this day. Look for him this day, this week. He is reaching
out, reaching out with a hand that is filled with human compassion and divine power, and he will lift us up. Let us pray.